is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday. It is a fantastic Friday here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and you are listening to Guardian Radio today. I am your host today, Darvin Russell, on this beautiful September 12th of 2025. As I reminded you yesterday during the show, the Captain Garth is on vacation. I think he has another week or so to go. So I'm filling in for him today. Once again, I will be out of pocket on Sunday. I think we have another guest host for Remark, my usual program with him on Sundays, but I will not be in the chair on Sunday. So today is my last day of the week to be with you, and we are talking today part two about finances. For those of you that joined yesterday, part one was dealing with personal finances, and today we're going to talk about your small businesses, your side hustles, those of you that have aspirations to be a business owner or are already a business owner and are having some challenges. I would encourage text, call a friend, invite them to listen into this conversation. Now, I'm not expecting a lot of calls today because Bahamians, you know, we don't like to talk about our business on the air. So if you feel more comfortable texting your questions, the text line today is 422-4796. For you brave souls that are going to call, the numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and to our family islanders, 242-300-5720. If you are going to find a title for our conversation today, I call today's episode The Arc of Entrepreneurship, Moving from Idea to Operational Excellence. Now, I have been a business owner for, a couple of decades maybe, or at least a decade, have been a corporate executive for at least two decades, and now sit in the space of both an entrepreneur and a consultant as the managing partner of Russell & Associates, where I work with small business owners and you personally to navigate the challenges you have in your finances. So I want to set up today's conversation by talking about what are those issues that you're facing, how is it that you process starting a business, what are the steps that you take either mentally or on paper to determine whether or not you're choosing, first of all, the right business, and whether or not you have experience, the knowledge, the understanding to embark on that venture, and whether or not you have the financing. Many of us dream of entrepreneurship. You know, a lot of people in the Bahamas desire to be entrepreneurs. But you all know, just like I do, the statistics that up to 80% of entrepreneurs and businesses fail within the first 5 years of operation. So you're talking about a very high bar to become successful by running your own business. This is certainly not for the faint of heart. Now, a lot of people can open a business, but not a lot of people are successful sustaining that business beyond the 5-year mark. One of my businesses, I am celebrating 6 years, no, 7 years this year. The other one is I'm in my third year. I have, like you, probably have failed before, but I've also succeeded. And you learn a lot of lessons during your failure. And if we have time today, I'll talk about some of those mistakes clients would have made, friends and family members would have made. I try to avoid some of the pitfalls that you all may be experiencing or can experience out there. So we're going to navigate this conversation. We're going to have a meaty conversation today. So this is not to scare you. This is really just to encourage you and to make you think holistically before you venture into this thing called entrepreneurship. But I see we already have a caller on the line. Before I get started, let's go with that caller. Caller, you're on the air. You're listening to Guardian Today. This is Darvin.
Hey, morning, Darvin.
Hey, guy. I'm good. How are you?
Boy, I love the topic right now, right? Because the reason why I love this topic is, right, we have a lot. COVID has created lots of entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And from personal experience, right, I learned that what you do is always separate your business account from your personal account.
Yes.
Second thing, right, mistakes what we make as entrepreneurs, right? The first profit you make at $10,000, your dumb self's going straight to Miami.
Okay.
I've been here with you.
Yeah.
Your woman will go to Miami.
Yes.
The minute you reach your profit, $10,000,
yes,
your stupid self find yourself right on the plane to Miami.
Bad
decision.
Those are really good point,
and
especially the
third thing I wanted to mention before go, right? When you mentioned in your conversation first, right, that all your businesses did not succeed. Some of your businesses failed.
Yes.
I want to let you know, right, personally, you did not fail and you're going not to reap a profit.
I love that.
Listen to me one more time.
Mm-hmm.
You did not fail in your business.
Mm-hmm.
What you did is you learned how not to reap a profit.
I love that.
Okay? Have a good day now.
Thank you, my brother. Words of wisdom from one of our regular callers. He always has wonderful contributions to make. And so I will echo his sentiments on the bank account issue. One of the pieces of advice that I like to give people is when you open a business, especially if you're in retail, right, small business retail, you should open three bank accounts. One is your operating account. One is a savings account, and the third is your inventory account. Here's why I suggest that people do that. Hopefully, you're going to follow me. I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible. For those that are in the space, especially in retail, you're going to understand exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, you're going to know the symptoms that I'm referring to. You ever notice when you go into a small business, especially a retail establishment, they oftentimes running out, or you're running out of the very inventory that's selling so fast? Do you wonder why that happens? I'll tell you why that happens. When you look at a retail establishment, the way that your cash flow works is, especially in that space, what happens is you generate a dollar in revenue, but you spend the dollar you generate on your operating expenses first. Why? Because those things require an immediate cash expense. What do I mean? So if you got $100 in, payroll is due on Friday. The light bill is due at the end of the month. The rent is due at the end of the month. All of those bills are coming out before, oftentimes, you look to replenish your inventory that is selling. Here's the problem, especially when you're starting out. You have expended, out of the $100 that you generated in revenue, you have expended, let's say, 50% of that already. You only now have $50 left to replenish your inventory. Lo and behold, the $50 is not enough to buy the amount of material or to buy the items you need to buy. Why? That happens because there are things called minimum order quantities. So you have to make sure that you're buying the minimum amount. And oftentimes the minimum amount, when you aggregate a container load of product, et cetera, you have to purchase at least, let's say, $20,000, $30,000 worth of merchandise, and you don't have that much left. So what I tell clients to do is make sure for every dollar, you put whatever your cost of goods sold. So whatever the landed sold in percentage terms, let's say that that's 70% because you're making a 30% gross margin. What is 30% gross margin? That means if you sell something for $100 and it costs you $70 to buy, the $30 is your gross margin, and that is 30%. So 30 over the $100 in revenue is how you calculate that number. You still with me? Okay. So the three bank accounts, you take the $70 and you put the $70 in your inventory replenishment account. The $30 is what you have left to actually spend on the other cost items, the rent, the salaries, the water, the light bill, etc. Now, you're going to say, Darvin, okay, man, look here. I've fallen short because the 30 ain't enough to cover. I understand. That's where what we call a working capital line of credit comes in. Because that is the facility that a bank would issue to you that covers the shortfall between the $30 that you have and the amount that you need. And you're going to have that working capital line of credit. You're going to draw on that more in the beginning until you get your footing. You understand the cadence with which people are buying and you generate greater returns. You may need to tweak, for example, your revenue in order to increase your pricing so that you're generating more profitability. But hopefully you get the gist of what I'm saying. That is a critical skill to learn and understand if you're in the retail space in entrepreneurship. Now let's talk about at a macro level. So here you are sitting in your study, sitting at your desk in your office, and you're bored and you're daydreaming and you're wondering, you know, man, when am I going to get out of this rat race? What do I need to do to open this business? I've had this dream, this vision of mine. I have this skill set, this experience in a particular area. Man, Darvin, I ready. Well, if you stick with me for the next hour and a half or so, we will see how ready you really are. As I say to my team, usually I say begin at the beginning. So let's talk about the definition of what is an entrepreneur. I believe, I'm going to give you like a layman's definition. An entrepreneur is a person who derives a portion or all of their income from the successful operation of a business. By definition, this would include solopreneurs, so those people who have a business, but they are the only employee. Those of you with side hustles, so you got a full-time job and you really do that thing 15, 20 hours a week, 3 hours a week on the side. You're not there every day. You may even have somebody that's helping you out, but that's your side hustle. You don't devote the majority of your time to it, but it brings in some profitability for you. Or you are a person with a full-fledged small business where you've got multiple employees. So you've got that payroll stress. You've got the customer service stress on a daily basis. So you're really in the thick of things. Now, what does it take really to become a successful business owner? Fantastic question. Glad. When you're thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, the arc of entrepreneurship. So what are those steps? What's that pathway look like as we go from the thought to the actual execution? I believe that there are some very definitive steps that you can think about that you need to actually walk through to help you become successful in this area. Before I give you those steps, I want you to ask yourself and ponder these two questions that I think is going to be helpful in our conversation today. Question number one. For those of you that are aspiring entrepreneurs, maybe you've been hesitant about starting a business. Question one, what's making you reluctant to take that leap of faith? What are those two or three fears that's preventing you from moving forward with your idea? That's your question to ponder during the show today. The second question, for those persons who have already made the leap, so you've crossed that big hurdle, you know, starting is probably the most difficult part to do. You just got that fear. So you've started now, you've taken the leap of faith into entrepreneurship, or you got a side hustle, or you went all the way, you went whole hog, right? If you've done that, tell me, what are some of the struggles or challenges you are facing on a regular basis? Is it your employee issues? Is it issues around procurement? Is it issues around marketing and sales? What are those challenges that you are having? So once again, to participate in our conversation today, you can call us at 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, or the Family Islanders, 242-300-5720. And those of you that are texting today, 422-4796. So those are the two overarching questions that I want you to ponder as I go through this arc of entrepreneurship. So here are some of the steps that we're going to be talking about to move you from idea to execution. The first step is some fancy word that we call in the business ideation. What is ideation? We'll get to that, however, is you need to take a look, focus on your business plan. Thirdly, you need to go and secure funding. Seek investors, go to the bank, talk to your family and friends. You need to figure out how you're going to operationalize this idea. And fourthly, you're going to have to launch the business, but I want you to launch it at a micro level, and we call that in business a proof of concept. And then the last thing that I want you to think about is after you've had your proof of concept, you've launched in a micro way, you get to tweak, revise, adjust, pivot. And after you've done all of that readjusting, then you do a full-scale, all-out blitz of a launch. And then you're going to monitor your business for at least a year really aggressively in the beginning. You're going to talk about your KPIs. You're going to have weekly staff meetings. You're going to have meetings with yourself if you're the only employee to hold yourself accountable or have a mentor hold you accountable to make sure you're hitting those critical gates and milestones that you've set out for yourself. So those are some of the today. The first one, therefore, is ideation. So as I mentioned, let's take a look at what ideation is. Ideation is basically, how do I come up in the first place, Darvin, with this idea? Like where does it come from? Not all of us are blessed to have these plethora of ideas that just come to you in the middle of the night that are so brilliant that we can just run with them. So how do I come up with my first idea? So before I get into the meat of it, let's see who's on the line. You're on Guardian today. This is Darvin. How can I help? You're on Guardian today. Turn your radio down in the background, please. What's your question? No problem.
Okay, one more comment I want to make.
Yes, sir.
I heard in a previous conversation you said that you deal with rent-a-cars.
Yes, right? Sir. It's one of my businesses.
Okay. And mm-hmm. I also deal with rent-a-cars. Mm-hmm. You know the problem why most of businesses, not just rent-a-car companies, don't survive, right? Mm-hmm. One common denominator, we price ourselves right out of business.
Okay. Pricing is something we're going to talk about today.
Okay, mm-hmm. let me let you know. Foolish enough to rent a car for $35 a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what happens, right? Mm-hmm. When you rent a vehicle for $35 a day, right? Mm-hmm. We all know you have to license the car.
Yes.
You have to insure the car. Yes. And inspection. Inspection license are due twice out of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that
twice out of the year.
Fee, mm-hmm. You have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Rent, and then you have to service your vehicle.
Absolutely.
So if you rent your vehicles for $35 a day, right? Mm-hmm. At which point would you reap a profit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you have to maintain the vehicle.
Absolutely.
So pricing is an issue. We
it
price
is.
Our staff right out of business. Mm-hmm. I've seen it multiple times. Mm-hmm. Companies price their staff right out of business.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Thank you for your contribution, my brother. All right. So what is this thing called ideation? All right. Here's what I want you to do. Here's your first assignment. So you are going to have to really take your time, okay? Go to a quiet place in your home, in your apartment. And I really want you to think about what I'm getting ready to say to you. I want you to list all of your skills, talents, and abilities. Now, this is not the time for you to embellish what you're good at. This is not that moment. You're not trying to go on a date and impress the woman. This is not that, okay? Don't tell her that you're a corporate executive when you're barely a supervisor. No, we're not doing that, right? I want you to list honestly, and if you can't be honest with yourself, bring a trusted friend into the conversation with you. List all of your skills, talents, and abilities. You with me? So you're good at customer service. Somebody told you you could cook. You're good with numbers. You are somebody who is good at chemistry, good at the sciences. You are a good organizer. Whatever those skills, talents, and abilities are, I want you to list them. It could be an exhaustive list, but list the top five, okay? After you've done that initial assessment, I want you to go to ChatGPT. Once again, you know a lot of the things that I tell you guys to do. You can at least get started for free. Go to ChatGPT and prompt ChatGPT, create your prompt, and say to ChatGPT something to this effect. Hi, I am a 10-year professional with these specific skills, talents, and abilities, and you list those that are on your list. You're going to ask ChatGPT to generate a list of ideas, businesses, that somebody with these skills, talents, and abilities would be good at, or at least should consider. ChatGPT is going to generate a list of ideas based on the skills, talents, and abilities you put in the application. You with me so far? Fantastic. Okay. After you've done that, I want you to prompt ChatGPT again. You can do this all in one prompt, but there's a method to my madness. Prompt ChatGPT again and ask ChatGPT to refine the list that it just provided to you based off of a profile of you. Mind, Darvin, mind, what you talking about? A profile of me? Tall, dark, and handsome? Nope. Nope, that's not what I'm talking about. A profile of you would say, for example, what are your constraints? So you say, well, you tell ChatGPT, I only have 6 hours a week to devote to this business, because maybe what you're looking for initially are businesses that you can run part-time. You don't want to go whole hog. You're not thinking about leaving the job immediately because you've got bitten by the entrepreneurial bug. So you are just going to ask ChatGPT, say to ChatGPT, I got 6 hours, I got 10 hours to devote to this business. You will say, I only have $5,000 that I can invest in this business, is another constraint that you have. You may tell ChatGPT, I have 10 years of customer service experience. You may also say to ChatGPT, I am a person who, another constraint you may have, I'm not able to, for example, you may be a lady, you're not able to lift more than 50 pounds on a regular basis. Whatever your profile is, whatever those constraints are, you put that in the ChatGPT, and it will distill, reduce the list that you gave it down to, let's say, five. You can even say to ChatGPT, give me the top three choices if you only want to assess three ideas beyond the stage of ideation. That's the stage we are still in. So here's what we've done. We've put all of our skills, talents, traits, and abilities into ChatGPT. It generated a list. That first list may have 10 businesses that you could start. Then we put in our profile, our constraints. We've said that the number of hours, the amount of money, what our experience level is, et cetera, et cetera. It now reduces that list down to the top three. This list, you should see ideas, businesses that hopefully resonate a little bit with your spirit. Like you could say, you know, Darvin, that actually makes a little bit of sense. You know, that's something I think that I could do. For those of you that wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning like I do and have these ideas, you scribble them down on your notepad or you do like me and you put them in your phone. And this I ain't talking about you. You don't have a struggle per se with the idea itself. You need refinement. You actually need to discipline your ideas and corral them in a way that makes sense for you to determine which of them makes the most sense based on your current set of circumstances to launch first. But those of us that are struggling with the idea, this is I'm spending this time for you. So now you've got the list. Let me give you a specific example. So I did this for you with the help of a friend of mine who is my ChatGPT guru. So I did this for you last night just to give you ideas I'm talking about. Okay? And I put into ChatGPT, as I mentioned to you, some of those constraints. So I gave the person, the fictitious person that I created, my prompt. They had a budget of $5,000. They had, they have a high school diploma, 5 years of low level experience in the hotel business. They're good at customer service. They have home cooking skills. They are a gardener and a baker. That was my first flush at this. ChatGPT generated with the initial cut 8 ideas. Okay? You all still with me? Okay. Generated 8 ideas. Here's the 8 ideas that ChatGPT generated. 1, a home-based catering and meal prep business. That was the first idea. The second was a baking and specialty treats business. That was idea number 2. Third, ChatGPT said you could be a purveyor of gardening products and services. 4, you can serve as a guest host or Airbnb host. 5, you can do event planning and coordination. 6, you can open a personal concierge service. 7, you can become a home organizer, or you can open a cleaning service. And 8, you can go into the online customer service space. So those people that are virtual customer service representatives. So those were the first. Those were the 8 that it came up with, generated first. Then, as I mentioned, for step 2, I put in some more time of only 10 hours to devote to this business. I gave it a budget of no more than $5,000. And ChatGPT took the 8 and they reduced it to 6 businesses. So it eliminated the home organization and cleaning service, and it eliminated the customer service freelancing jobs or businesses. Okay? It left me with event planning, Airbnb hosting, baking, gardening, products and services, the concierge business, and the home-based catering and meal prep. Why did I do that? Just to show you guys how simple this can be. You are not expected always to have all of the answers to the questions that you raise. Sometimes you got to hire people like me. Sometimes you got to devote yourself to learning some new skills in order to do what I just did, which took me and my friend probably less than 30 minutes of our time to go through and think about the prompt. Because how you prompt ChatGPT really determines the quality of the output that it provides to you. So really spend some time. Go and take a free AI course if you want to learn how to prompt it better. But that's what it did. So it generated 6 ideas with those constraints based on your skill set for you to start, or that you can start. When you look at that list now, something about that list should trigger you, should motivate you, should make sense to you. That and say, you know what, Darvin, I think I'm going to focus on the catering business. I really am feeling this cooking or culinary thing. Or you're going to go and do the concierge business. You feel like you're exceptional at customer service. Here's the thing for you guys to remember out there. How do I identify my skills, talents, and abilities? Steve Harvey gave a great example, because even I, earlier in my entrepreneurship journey, struggled because I felt like I was good at a lot of things. But here is what he said that helped clear the cobwebs for me. One of the things he said was, your skill or your talent is the thing you do the best with the least amount of effort. For some of you, the minute I said that, the answer is crystal clear. That didn't help me as much as the second definition of what your talent was. And the second definition I got from Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he said, what is the thing that people call you about and seek your advice on the most? I said, okay, well, blow me. That one was crystal clear. People call me about their relationship problems, and they call me to talk money. Sometimes my friends who are trapsy call me to talk about politics. But for the purposes of today, they call me about money, and they call me about relationships. And that is what took me down the road to do some of the things that I ended up doing. Now, for you, I hope that using those two prompts, if you will, would give you a degree of clarity that after ChatGPT has generated that list for you, you can distill that down to your top two or three. I don't necessarily personally like ChatGPT to break it down to the three. I actually like that it produces 7 to 8 to then allow me to use my own deductive logic and how well I know myself to say whether or not this or that business resonates with me. Okay? Step one was ideation. Now we can say to ourselves, Darvin, I feel good. I went through the steps and I think I'm going to explore these top two. So what do you do next? The next step is, of course, you need to write this business plan. Oh my God, I'm not good at this kind of stuff. Once again, that's why you call people like me. If you're not good at this stuff, and I will leave my number at the end of the show for those of you that are interested in those kinds of services from me. So you say, look, create your business plan. Easier said than done. I know. Don't start to get anxiety and develop palpitations. It's not as difficult for those of us that are in this space, okay? We do this all day, every day. But if you're going to attempt to do it yourself in step two, there are a couple of areas, components, that I think are important for you to consider. Here's the first piece. You want a company overview. Right? Mandarin, what in that? So who you are, what does your business do? Give the reader, your investors, the bank, some background information on this brilliant idea, this brilliant business you're getting ready to start. So it should have a company overview. The second thing is you want to spend some time in the marketing and sales section of your business plan. So the second section is your marketing and sales section. What's in here? Well, what's your approach to the market? How are you going to go about growing your business? The caller who called earlier mentioned that, you know, these folks are out here pricing too low. They can't even cover their costs and they're expensive. They really aren't thinking a lot. So that's the third aspect, which is your financial aspect. So you're going to talk about your cost and your revenue projections. You're going to talk about who you're getting this money from if you're not self-funding. What are those startup expenses we need to consider? And one of the most important aspects of your financial section is your break-even analysis. How much revenue sales do I need to generate before my sales meets my expenses and my profit is zero? That's what break-even is about. until you reach the break-even point, you're hemorrhaging cash, meaning you're spending more than you're pulling in. So first three aspects, company overview, marketing and sales, and your financial piece. Here's something I missed out of marketing and sales that I wanted to share. You need to think about whether or not you wish to grow organically or you're going to be hyper-focused on rapid acceleration on the top line revenue. That means you're going to focus from you open your doors on generating cash as quickly as possible, sales as quickly as possible, so that you get to break even as quickly as possible. That's very important from a cash flow basis. So your marketing plan needs to be strategized to front load a lot of those marketing expenses, your Facebook and Instagram ads, your printed flyers, your website, all of those marketing related expenses. You need to really focus and have a strategy around that if you want rapid acceleration of your revenue. What's the fourth section? What's your pricing or product strategy? That's what the caller alluded to when he called about the $35 a day car rental. So what exactly is your pricing strategy? Are you going to go enter the market as the low-cost provider? So that person who had the $35 a day car is looking to enter the market at the low cost. Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's, they operate in the lower value end of the quick service restaurant segment. Panera Bread operates in the middle. Then you've got an Outback that operates higher than those three. And then you have places that we are familiar with locally, like your Twisted Limes of the world, or your Swimming Pigs, or some of the folks out west, some of the restaurants out west. Those folks, they would be operating on the higher end of the restaurant segment. So whichever your level, your pricing and your product or service strategy needs to mimic what it is you're trying to achieve. Okay, we're going to take our first break. And when we get back, we're going to continue our conversation about what needs to be in this business plan before you seek funding. We'll be back. You're listening to Guardian Today. This is Darvin Russell.
Guardian Radio Today is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Prince Masters, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249-35267.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
And we're back. You're listening to Guardian Today, and I am your host here on 96.9, Darvin Russell. And we are having a great conversation around your own business. And for those of you that are already entrepreneurs, we're going to have some tips and tricks on how you can operate your business more successfully. To call in today, 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. On the text line, it's 422-4796. And for those Family Islanders, it's 242-300-5720. So let me go through some of the texts that have come in before I get started in finishing up. What's your business plan? The first text reads, how do I figure out what industries or opportunities are growing in the Bahamas? And how do I evaluate whether an idea is just a trend or a sustainable opportunity? You call me at 827-4357. Just kidding. But you still can call me if you are seriously interested in having this conversation. But here's what I will tell you. You know, in the Bahamas, one of the unfortunate things is we don't have good public data around the state of small business. You may be able to reach out to the chamber. They might keep private statistics. You might reach out to my good friend Mark Turnquest over at the Small Business Association. You may even reach out to my former colleagues at the Small Business Development Center who might have some private data that they're comfortable sharing with you. But it's really difficult to look at this data to that level of granularity. Outside of having that in the public space, you can look at what industries are growing probably in Florida in the United States. There are a lot of similarities economically to what goes on in the United States and what happens here in the Bahamas. And then you can just use your powers of observation, drive around and see how many of these businesses you see opening up. But I would much prefer you spend your time, effort, and energy trying to determine what you're good at. Because I think sometimes when we think about entrepreneurship, we really develop what I call in business analysis paralysis. We overthink about the business we start. And that paralyzes us. We overthink, overanalyze. We do almost as like we do things to discourage ourselves from getting started. If I had that mindset, I'd never open a car company because there are dozens, hundreds maybe of car companies or people with car rentals, right? I would never have opened my pest control company. There are dozens of pest control companies. But you are still unique. You bring your own set of talents, traits, and abilities. So I don't want you to be hyper-fixated. It's important for you to do your market research. I'm not going to diminish that. But I don't want you to be overly obsessed that the market is oversaturated. Not if you've got a strategy to attack it in a nuanced kind of way. So you call people like me that help you interrogate your brain, if you will, and help you develop a set of businesses that would comply or fit in the category where the sector is growing and you can do something that's sustainable. The second question, are there specific businesses that can be started with a small amount of money up front? Yes, there are lots of them. I am going to give you some homework. I want you to read this book called The $100 Startup. It's by Chris Guillebeau. I think I said his last name correctly. Guillebeau. I'm probably about a third of the way through the book, but it is a fantastic, fantastic read. And that's going to help you for those of you that have a small amount. And like I said, ChatGPT can also help you with that. But you can use both resources. You don't have to choose. Okay? So here's where we stopped before we took the break. And we're going to have to take a break, another short break soon anyway, before we go to the 1 o'clock news hour. But here are the other sections that you need for your business plan. First was company overview. Second was marketing. Third was the financial section. Fourth was your pricing and your product and service strategy. The fifth is operationally. How is your product or service going to get to your customer base? How are you procuring your inventory? What does your food production line look like if you are in the restaurant space? Are you going to go takeout, dine in, buffet style? Are you going to do self-serve, cafeteria? Operationally, are you going to do to move your customers from their initial interaction with you through to the providing of the good or service? And do you have the manpower to execute on your operational plan? You might need, for example, a specific skill set to be able to execute. And that leads me into the fifth and the final section, which deals with your management team. Who are these people that are going to help you do the heavy lifting? Right? Who are these people? For many of us, we don't take long enough as the people that are going to be joining the team. You need to assess those critical skills. You need to assess the skills that you need to execute on the business, on your goals, on your objectives. Is there a plan, for example, for you to ramp up your personnel plan over time? Or do you want to start with all persons from jump? What is your management strategy? What's your management team going to look like? So we're going to go to this caller. And then I think we're not going to have any more time to talk about the business plan until after the 1 o'clock news hour. So, caller, you're on Guardian Today with Darvin. How can I help?
Yes, sir. Good day.
Hey, guy.
Yeah. Were you on with Dwight this morning?
I was not. Mm-mm.
You was, right?
I was not. No.
Okay. Oh, okay. You sound like a guy who was on with Dwight this morning talking about reparations.
Okay. No, sir.
You know, and how he really spoke about how he seems like he is in favor of the government controlling the reparations.
Okay.
You know, the money should go to them, and they should do social services with it.
Understood.
you know, and but anyway, you see, you're talking about entrepreneurs.
I am.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Small, let's say small business.
Yes, sir.
Construction is a great part of our economy.
It is.
You know, in construction, you have skilled people there, and you have labor. Every carpenter, there's one helper, and he's not a, you know what I mean? He's not skilled.
Yeah.
So my even like what I mean to say is that small businesses, entrepreneurs, you know, like say some of them have an employees and some does, but the issue I have with businesses in general, right, is that they want slave labor.
They do. Some of them do.
Right. Mm-hmm. So. It's not a matter of doing a business or even the government subsidizing the business. It doesn't profit us to have businesses that employ people at the wages. And another thing, you know, I like the call about the interview that they want to take. Thing about AI. Somebody talk about AI.
Hold that thought for me. You can call back after the 1 o'clock news break. They're prompting me to go to the 1 o'clock news break. So we'll be back. You're listening to Guardian Today. This is Darvin.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.
Great Commission's Ministries is God's storehouse. They have been caring for the poor, homeless, and hurting since 1987. You are invited to support their Stop and Drop program by dropping off some food items in their barrels and some cash in their bottles. You can donate an offering each month or pay your tithes online to Great Commission through the GiveLify or SunCash apps. help them to shelter the homeless, feed the hungry, and spread the gospel of Christ. Volunteer your service and support the Live to Give program. Call Great Commission Ministries, God Storehouse, at 325-5801 for further information, or stop by the office on Wolf Road. Be blessed.
Parents, don't ignore your children's dreams. In Genesis 37, Joseph shared his dreams, and though his father dismissed them, those very dreams revealed his destiny. God is still speaking to children today, even in their sleep. And as parents, we must listen, cover, and nurture. That's why I created the Children's Dream Journal, a tool to help you capture and protect what God is revealing to your kids. You can purchase your copy now on Amazon or join me, Trishawn Hanna, at my book signing Saturday, September 20th at 2 p.m. We'll be at Template located on Jerome Avenue. This event is sponsored by CT Management, Template, Bahama Odds and Ends, Big Party World, and Job 33:14 Dreamwear. Let's guard the destiny in our children's dreams together.
And we're back. You're listening to Guardian Today on September 12th, 2025. And I am your host today, Darvin Russell. And we have been talking about entrepreneurship in the 242. The caller who had called prior to us taking the 1 o'clock break, feel free to call back to finish your contribution if you were not done. So let's get to these texts before I continue the conversation. This texter says, good afternoon, Mr. Russell. In my opinion, the $35 a day for a car or two at that price point to get a customer in the door. So they're saying $35 may be low, but this might be a part of an overall marketing strategy just to for those that are starting in the space, just to try to get people used to renting from them and to see the vehicles that they actually have. Fair point, texter. Blessings, Darvin. Please be sure to read the entire text. I love how Bahamans give instructions. I love how you have been and still are talking to and teaching the public. Great job. Keep it up. I hope Darvin will still be filling in for Garth next week. Will you do so next week? By the way, can you do a show or a series of shows on why the majority of organic or ancestral Bahamians strongly believe a job is the only single way to income and seem heavily resistant or worst, uninterested in going into any business or entrepreneurship? While on the opposite side, non-Bahamians and other folks of non-Bahamian interest, seemingly without even blinking, rapidly and eagerly dive into business and are making it. And peep this. Many of these non-Bahamian folks have no degrees, no GCEs, no BJCs. They are operating on just basic reading and writing and mathematics. Yet they are making it. And we are eager and willing to without hesitation, to dive into business, oftentimes multiple businesses. Well, thank you, texter, for that that text. Here's what I will say about this. In the context of immigrant versus residents and citizens of the Bahamas, here's what I want you to remember sometimes. It's the nature of an immigrant to do whatever they have to do to survive in the country that they have immigrated to. Oftentimes, they don't have the requisite paperwork or that they find themselves in. And entrepreneurship is actually easier than going to find work, where there may be a language barrier, where there may be a skills gap, and those kinds of things. And oftentimes, these entrepreneurship ventures that they enter into are either providing goods and services to their own immigrant community, or they are doing so at a level within the economy that the native folks don't tread. We see immigrants in the tire repair business. We see immigrants for a long time in landscaping. immigrants for a long time in housekeeping and those kinds of services. So while I can understand and appreciate that, we have to put that in context. The other thing about why Bahamians don't enter into entrepreneurship at a greater rate, I think because entrepreneurship, first of all, is difficult. And if you have achieved a certain level of comfort financially with a job, especially if you're a professional in the Bahamas and you're making a nice chunk of change, risking that, and I put risk in quotation because life is a risk, risking that is sometimes a very difficult thing. This is not for the faint of heart. So if you think about my life, right, I'll just tell you a part of my story. I've made money and lost money, lost all of my money at least three times, okay, in this entrepreneurship journey. It's being built back up, and the Lord has blessed me, so I'm good. And I don't think that I will see those days again because of how I've kind of set up my businesses and my financial life now. But this is not an easy road, and I don't intend to make you think that it is an easy road. I am here to speak to you today to try to get you to understand some of the pitfalls that you may face, some of the things that you need to consider in an effort to improve our success rate. Because where the small business community goes, so does the overall economy in the Bahamas. Small businesses still represent a significant 70%+ of the business licenses issued in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And tourism and financial services constitute 70%+ of our GDP. The small business community still contributes a massive, I think the number the last time I checked was 50% of our GDP. Okay, so within the context of the hotel and restaurant industry and the banking industry, small businesses take a piece of that, but they constitute 50% of GDP. Somebody can fact check that if I'm making a mistake. But the fact is, they're important for employment and they're important for wealth creation. All right, let's get back to it. So we said that before we took the break, you should have done your business plan. You're in the business plan stage, all right? So we're in stage two or three, whatever stage. You're in the business plan stage, right? We've gone through ideation, which is coming up with the idea. We've vetted those ideas against our skill, talents, and abilities and our constraints. And now we've narrowed it down to the top one or two that we wish to pursue. And as a result of that, we need a business plan. And this business plan, we're taking to friends and family if we need funding, to the banks, to private investors. And I just talked about, prior to the 1 o'clock hour, what are the components of that business plan? We talked about a company overview, a market, a financial section, a product and pricing section, the operational section, and I ended before the break on the management section. Okay, so who is the team that's going to help you operate this business? Now that we have this nice, shiny, beautiful business plan, what do we do with it? Well, you got to go get the money, people. Show me the money. You got to go get the money. Now, where you get that from depends on your network, right? Your network determines your net worth. You've heard that saying before. If you haven't, write that nugget down for your future reference. So your net worth is determined by your network. They says your wealth is closely attached or similar to the five closest friends that you have. I want you to think about that. So if you want to grow and think about this entrepreneurship journey, you really need to get in your place and space and find yourself some successful entrepreneurs that can talk this language, that can help you out, that can give you some advice. And in the absence of that, you have to call and deal with professionals like myself to help you navigate some of these pitfalls and challenges that you may have. Before I go into funding, let's see who's on the line. You're on Guardian today. This is Darvin. How can I help?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you doing, Mr. Goblin?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, it's good for you. Yeah, right here,
man. Yeah, man.
And so a lot of things came to mind. And so, you know, the question is, you know, Texas, why does there always have to be a schism between the Haitian and the Bahamian?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And so I like how you handled it. Mm-hmm. And so I respect your mind. Mm-hmm. So now here's where it's at, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 61, so, you know, the inner city I know about. I was actually born in the inner city,
okay.
Not in a hospital. So, because people are being duped, you know, this ideal that you move into the suburban areas and ray, and so the migrants come in naturally. And
yes.
So they seize the same opportunity are senior business people like Dorset and all the different various businessmen die out.
Mm-hmm.
Some children are professionals. They don't have time to keep up the legacy within the inner city. My mom Elizabeth has a little poultry shop. If you see the shop, it's a little stone building, but no one could anticipate how much I'm making. Now, I'm not saying I'm making $100,000, but when she was alive, it was much better.
Okay.
So post-pandemic, I lost some contracts from the landlords and the various hotels because some companies sought to open up their own poultry shop.
Okay.
So it affected me. Mm-hmm. I'm not rich. I turn on government contracts. I have a lot of high clientele from her and people that I do business with.
Okay.
Doctors, lawyers, anybody, mm-hmm. right? So I have a diverse field in which I cover in the upholstery business.
Yes,
but my mom specializes in interior decorating, et cetera. She's bad like that.
Okay.
I can't even fill her shoes. Now, okay. Here's where the problem is at.
Yes, sir.
You're moving out of the inner city,
mm-hmm.
and migrants are seizing the opportunity because they have increased the numerology within the inner city, mm-hmm. bringing in fruits and selling to one another.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't blame them. I know a Haitian lady for about 30 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
I go to a shop. A price is quite reasonable, blonde, mm-hmm. whatever, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I go to just like a normal shop. But the fact remains, we still need ordinances to be upkept. Because a migrant means you should be allowed to
run a
business without a dumpster.
Yeah, without a
The same deals, like how they come and ask me for my little bathroom mm-hmm. and all these different deals and fire extinguisher and all the things there when I go on.
Mm-hmm.
I was up and down like a fool when mom died because my father told me to get the license. So I've been doing it from 2017, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have all kinds of little different ideas as to even wholesaling upholstery products, right?
Yes, sir.
But at my age, I'm moving like at a pace where it's comfortable for me mm-hmm. now. I'd say right now I have about, about maybe $3,000-$4,000 worth of work in the shop. That,
okay.
But the difference with the poultry is it requires a real work. It's not like you sit around and patrol. And
right.
You do real work, real thinking.
Yeah.
And so with the fact that we have moved out of the inner city.
Yes, sir.
I would like to have this discussion online. It's a parallel economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a parallel society. So what I'm saying is you the small businesses the way you should. Not saying the taxes, but mm-hmm. with ordinances, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say price control. And stuff like that, make sure they pay national insurance, et cetera, et cetera. They are not adhering to guidelines that needs to be in place for behemoths.
Yeah, it's unregulated. Yeah, it's an area.
So what mm-hmm. I'm saying is don't nog the behemoths because it's a numbers game. The mm-hmm. migrants see the numbers of them,
mm-hmm.
and they would shop it in their community, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. In my time in doing business with old lady, when mom became sick, I was looking at some of the books, right? The accounts, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing when she died, I never even saw this book. But one person over a large amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just gone off like that. Because so, I couldn't find this book. And then what I noticed about people who are rich, because
mm-hmm.
she had high clientele, I call a lady who had just had a balance of like maybe $1,300.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady, she's a big time executive, and she sought to pass disparaging, like say, like, how dare you call me for this money?
Yes.
So people who have money, they don't really like to spend money. Yeah. This is what I come to realize about people. I mean, I call the shares a Jew as it relates to sales and money. I used to do sales, you know, door to door. And so, from a young man, I learned the numbers game.
Yeah.
I made most of my money in the inner city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know within itself the numbers of people. I used to go to the hospital. I used to go by the bank, stand up, wait. Even in then, you know what I learned too? Even people in the banks, I realized that people, and I ran a necktie and I clean cut, you know, garment.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody still passed. Some people passed the spiral junior marks, go get a real job.
Yeah.
Never mind, I had a little 1 year daughter, my daughter who's now 26, have her own business, and I didn't want to talk about mm-hmm. any. I really didn't go listen to me. What I'm saying is, people in the bank pass and disparage me, and people always look at it, go get a real job, wait. But if they found out I was making more money than them, but I used to make believe otherwise.
Yeah.
I even used to make a joke like I couldn't even read and all,
right.
just to get people's attention. But I'm diversified. I was mm-hmm. not just limited to engineering and technical work and trade work.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So
yes,
I'm just saying that we must stop the schism between Asian mm-hmm. and Bahamian
mm-hmm.
for this business thing, their business idea, because they run in the same narrative.
Mm-hmm.
All of me from Africa and all of us have the brain, mm-hmm. brains are 1,100 centimeters cube on average.
Yes,
so I don't know where all this comes from. We need to stop that. And even in me, and trying to bridge the gap,
mm-hmm.
people are falsely accusing me of foolishness that are coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
I live in the inner city. Just come and find out how we live with these people. I don't bother them.
They
don't bother no one. But we can't accept that as mm-hmm. everybody being the same. You understand?
Fair
you still have to police your borders and police the community.
Thank you, 52. Appreciate you. I didn't cut you, by the way. Caller on the air. You're on Guardian Today. This is Darvin. How can I help?
Darvin, how you doing, man?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
Good. Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't encourage illegal immigrants.
Yes, sir.
But they're here.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well face it. They're here. Mm-hmm. They were here a long, long time. They're here. But how many Chinese you shopping in a Super Value?
Yeah, sure. I get what
you're saying. How many Haitians here of late
mm-hmm.
you ever see shopping in a supermarket?
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up in the inner city, like my friend just said, I grew born and grew on Moore Avenue. They used to have the Haitians bring the food store to you.
Mm-hmm.
They had a van. And anything in the food store, they had in that van. They bring the food store to you.
Mm-hmm.
There was another gentleman back in the day. I don't know what area you grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a white, I remember him, a white, stout gentleman like.
Yes, sir.
He used to call him Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
He used to bring, like, irons and ports and sheets, everyone.
Okay.
And he used to give it to your parents, and he used to let them credit, tell the end of the month or the end of the week, however.
Yes, sir.
See, and it was a gimmick, because if you could credit something, you'll always get more
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
than if you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was playing. When I got older, I say, man, you know that man is swinging my mother? Because my mother used to end up getting things she don't need just yeah. because she could have get it and pay later.
Yes.
That's like them people, you see them people do this thing now with these cars, if you work for government or you yeah. get salary reduction, no
yes,
money
sir.
Down.
Yes, sir.
What's the pull on that,
yes. yeah? Yeah. Yeah.
And the monthly payment on it, right, be like 180, you know.
Yes, sir.
But when you don't pay that interest or not, you run by pay for that car twice.
Mm-hmm. Very true yeah, statement, but, sir.
Yeah, but I got to get to do this.
I appreciate your contribution.
Yeah, man.
We're getting ready to go to a break. You're listening today. This is Darvin on the Air. We'll be back after these short messages.
When it comes to hearts, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
May be tough, but Wendy's got you covered. Grab a Dave single or chicken sandwich with a junior fries and 16-ounce beverage for just $6.95. Why choose less from the other guys when you can get more? At Wendy's, we're providing bigger bites and better deals. So purchase your Ting's Tough Value Meal today. Now available at all locations excluding the airport and food truck.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent conversations, 96.9 FM.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Guardian Today. I'm your host today, Darvin Russell, and we've been having a fantastic conversation, as usual. I just love my callers. Around entrepreneurship in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And we're walking you through, how do you go from idea to execution? So before we finish our conversation in the last half hour that I'm with you, caller, you're on the air on Guardian Today. This is Darvin. How can I help?
Good afternoon, Darvin. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. To execute a proper entrepreneurship, you have to have a proper business plan.
Without question.
And proper business planning.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people go into business because, I mean, a lot of people just get into this because they see someone else doing it and mm-hmm. think they're making a great profit.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way all the time.
Sure, it doesn't.
And we have this stigmatization now in the Bahamas that all Haitians are illegal. Mm-hmm. All Haitians are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, some of these persons who are speaking about the Haitians didn't realize that some of these same people, generation,
mm-hmm.
I didn't say that their fathers and my entire generation mm-hmm. have built the Bahamas also,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have a problem with illegals.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone is here legally and paying taxes like everybody else
mm-hmm.
and living in the proper facilities,
yeah.
I don't have no problem with that because we do the same thing in the U.S., England, Canada, everywhere else in the world. But they just do it in a bigger magnitude because it's their population density.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man.
Have a great afternoon. So have a business that has an overdue payment of $5,000. They have blocked communication. How can I get overdue payment? Go to the magistrate's court and sue them. I don't play about my money, and you small business owners should stop playing about yours. This is our livelihood. If your employer ever considered not paying you your salary on Friday or at the end of the month, whatever your frequency This would be something that you would not tolerate. Don't tolerate it in your businesses. Go to the magistrate's court. Explain to them that you would like to send out a summons. Hopefully he doesn't mind me giving his name, but ask for Sergeant Sands. He will help you. And I believe that the magistrate's court, the limit, they may have raised the limit, but it used to be $5,000. It may be up to $10,000. Take your documentation with you, whatever you have on the person who owes you the money, and take it to him, and he will get a summons to that person, and you go to court and get your money back. Don't play around with it at all. Callers, y'all are on the air. You're on Guardian Today, Small Business and Entrepreneurship Today. How can
I? Yes, sir. You asked me to call back after.
Yes, go ahead, sir. I didn't know if you were finished with your contribution.
You know about that AI thing, right?
Yes, sir.
There's one, I couldn't get him because, you know, I was at working, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm on a break now. That's why I'm able to call you, right?
Okay.
But what the caller should have asked him is to ask AID, which benefits the masses,
mm-hmm.
whether it's socialism or capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
what do you think AI would say?
Mm-hmm.
or whether Donald Trump was good for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For the world or the Bahamas or the United States.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think AI would say, Russell?
Boy, I don't know, you know. You
so,
tell me.
So in other words, AI isn't the truth. They only give you what they put, you know, whoever programmed it, you mm-hmm. know, what they put into it, mm-hmm. right? Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. But you right. can't make the extension to say it's not the truth. If you put in the truth, it spits out the truth, right? AI
right.
can have errors in it, but yeah, oftentimes it gives you very good, credible information.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with AI.
Yes, you do.
Because AI is not going to tell you the truth about mm-hmm. everything.
Yes, sir. Have a great
right.
day. Appreciate
so,
your contribution.
You know, with the situation with the 52, right?
Yes, sir.
See, I put in the 52, right? That mm-hmm. Bahamas is a small nation.
Mm-hmm.
Very small. The Bahamas cannot afford to have a birthright citizenship
mm-hmm.
because of all the immigrants. I don't care where they're from.
Right.
And the Bahamas needs to protect that. See, mm-hmm. I'm a Texan Cajun.
Okay.
And I've been here 60 years, and I shouldn't have the same. I believe I shouldn't be voting in the Bahamas.
Fair enough.
You understand what
I
I'm
do.
Saying?
I do.
I believe that what we need for this region, for us to be mm-hmm. strong, we need a single market. You understand me?
That's a show for another
immigration
day.
Immigration open.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir,
single
I do.
Immigration
I do.
And customs.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? This is what needed. You see, and all Haitians are, I work with Haitians there, mm-hmm. right? And I told him, I asked him how many Haitians in Haiti? Mm-hmm. He tell me 15 million.
Yeah.
I asked him how many outside Haitians? Mm-hmm. He tell me 6. I said to him, well, the 6 million people outside of Haiti and doing well, just them, you know, them repatriating mm-hmm. money back and forth to Haiti doesn't help Haiti.
Sure.
Help the some, but they need to unite to make Haiti better in Haiti. You see, us in the Bahamas, we need Haiti better in the Haiti, you know.
I appreciate you, sir. Got another call on the
Thank
line.
You.
Thank you. Have a great day. Caller, you're on the air. You're on Guardian Today. This is Darvin Akinaya.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, in reference to, like, Haiti, right,
mm-hmm.
America's going to be sending a 5,000-man-strong suppression, gang suppression force there. They're firing the Kenyan force mm-hmm. because they ain't been doing nothing.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, like the Bahamas government, if they're still going to persons or supporting this mm-hmm. Haitian initiative
mm-hmm.
to say if you're going to fix Haiti, mm-hmm. then we can't even fix the Bahamas.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your contribution. We're talking entrepreneurship today.
Darvin. Mm-hmm. Hello, Darvin.
Yes, sir. I'm listening.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, because it's, I mean, like, I tell you no lie, right? Even the last folks who left Guardian, I don't know if he left or was fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me like when persons are basically like employed there to be on the talk shows,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like listening to this word called program to say conversation when you're having a discussion. Or because I mean, like, I listened to you and all, like you said about 5 times before mm-hmm. the show closed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a strong program, everyone
no,
said it, because even the new shows.
There's
everyone having conversation.
No, there's no. I can't speak for anybody else. There's no programming.
Program
going on here, relative to this stuff. So today we're talking about entrepreneurship. So let's just keep the discourse in that area. But I appreciate your contribution. All right. So folks, we have gotten to the point now where we've gone through the idea After you've had the idea, we have vetted the idea against our skill, talents, and ability, and we have written our business plan. Now we're at the stage where we are seeking funding. And the sources of funding principally in the Bahamas are as follows. So you can tap into your own savings. Okay? So for those of you that have been disciplined enough and have saved a degree of money that your business plan tells you is going to be needed to operate this entity at least until you get to a break-even stage. So you are your first investor, okay? Secondly, you can talk to your friends and family. That's the next level or ring or circle around you, your friends and family. Thirdly, you can go to the banks directly or you can go via the SBDC and some of the programs that they have. The guaranteed loan program was the one that I was responsible for while I was there. Excellent program for those of you that need a sizable amount of money. For those of you that need small grant-related funding, they also can assist, but those are periodic and limited in nature. Fourthly, you're talking about private investors. This is probably the most difficult one to get, especially if these are private investors that you do not know. So if you've got to go through the private equity space, you might have to give up a percentage of your company, or the interest rates that they might be charging you might be more than what you're willing, that the banks would be charging you associated with it. Now, when you're seeking your funding, your investors are going to vet this business plan that you come up with. They're going to be paying attention to your management team, for example, your business case. What's the concept that you are offering, and what makes you unique? What's your secret sauce? So what makes Darwin Incorporated better than all the other fast food restaurants? You know, Wendy's has a square burger, McDonald's focuses on the Happy Meal and the fries and the apple pie. Burger King, it's all about the grilled hamburger. But what is your specific niche? How are you gonna convince me to give you the money that you need to start this business? And then you want to talk about how you're going to repay this money. So there are really what you need to do is create what we call in the industry a pitch deck. And what is a pitch deck? A pitch deck really is a 5 to 7 slide PowerPoint presentation that focuses on answering a couple of questions. One slide is talking about who are you? Okay, who are you, where you come from? Who your people is, right? Basically, so who are you? Who is this business? And who are you is not personal on a pitch deck. It's the business. Who is the business? What do you do with this business? Third slide, what do we want from the investors? So what's your ask? How much money you need? And what are we getting for the money that we are providing? The next slide, what makes you special? Like I said, what's your secret sauce? And how are you going to repay us and in what quantity? So what's your rate of return? And then the last slide, you should probably have a slide that talks about anticipating what potential issues may be and how you've already anticipated how you will mitigate against them. So this pitch deck can serve as a part of your business plan, or it can come after if you need to prepare one depending upon who you are going to for funding. Next step is proof of concept. Before we get to that, we'll take this next caller. Caller, you're on the air on Guardian today. You're listening to Darwin. We are talking entrepreneurship today.
Hi, Darwin. How are you doing?
I'm well, and how are you?
I am blessed. Thanking God for life. Let me just say a special good afternoon to everyone who's listening to your show and everyone in your studio.
Thank you.
Darwin, I like the topic which you're dealing with today.
Mm-hmm.
You think we're doing ourselves a disservice when we didn't implement something like that in our school system?
I do.
What I see the challenge is, right, mm-hmm. I think we have some loving behemoth, and we take a lot for granted. We sort of lay back.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, like, utilize these type of education and try and spread it. And now we face with a challenge where our numbers are probably twice as much with foreigners now.
Yes, sir.
So how could the Bahamians really, our children,
mm-hmm.
you know, some adults, how could we compete
mm-hmm.
with this? That's why I said we're doing a disservice to our people.
Okay.
And I think, like, before we ever decide to open up our gates mm-hmm. to entity, any sort of foreigners. Mm-hmm. I think stuff like this,
mm-hmm.
how to make behemoth entrepreneurs, you know, growing up, it was just like, go to school. When you finish the school, try to get yourself a job.
Mm-hmm.
It was never, this is a business plan.
Yes, sir.
I want us to grow into this. Mm-hmm. I want, you know, and you take your children along with you with that yeah. dream, and you become successful.
I can agree with you on that.
We really missing out on it like that, and we missing out a lot because the truth of the matter is our people isn't prepared and mm-hmm. our people isn't ready for the competition mm-hmm. with the world has.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that, you know, I hope that we implement stuff like this in our school system. I know JA and different organizations.
Yeah, it's there. But you want something more expanded than that. Yeah.
Yes, it has to be more broader.
Yeah, I love that suggestion. Yeah, thank you for your contribution, my friend.
And I like your topic, man.
Thank you, man. Continue to listen. So one of the things that he's mentioning is this. Right now, you know, we have JA, and that's the primary program that we use to talk about entrepreneurship. But there is a need for a broader financial literacy component to our high school education that I hope the power listening to really giving thought to do that. It does a couple of things. It obviously educates your population on the importance of good money management and good money stewardship. But it also alleviates potentially the burden on the state to provide for social services and support programs, where if you have a society that is creating more entrepreneurship, who's building more wealth and creating more jobs, you would expect that to lessen the burden on taxpayers for providing that kind of assistance. But thank you, caller, for that contribution. Now that we have gotten to the place where we got the money is in the bank. It's time for us to launch. And like I said to you guys, launching initially is about what we call a proof of concept. So just a micro version of your entity. You got to test this idea out. Does it make sense? Will it work? Because can I tell you, one of the most difficult parts of your entrepreneurial journey will be you open those doors to that restaurant, you put out your virtual or your actual shingle on your store, and no one shows up. Absolutely nobody. Nobody clicks on the link. Nobody does the call to action. Nobody walks through your door. Nobody calls the phone to inquire about the products or services that you have to sell. It can be jarring. I promise you, you have to steel your wits to be able to withstand that. But can I tell you, you definitely can't lose hope. It took me 4 months, actually 3 months, before I got my first sale in one of my businesses. That was the longest 3 months. And this is me who got all the sense, all these ideas, all these strategies, all this education, had the money that I needed, everything, and I still didn't get a sale. That I got renewed energy and more vigor, and I was able to then grow my business. But I'm telling you, it can be difficult in the beginning, and if you're not mentally prepared for that, you will probably sometimes close your businesses prematurely because you didn't ventilate the idea sufficiently or give it your full effort, time, and attention. Caller, you're on Guardian. Today we are talking entrepreneurship, and this is Darwin. What's your contribution?
Yes, good afternoon. How are you,
sir? I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. I always had a bad feeling about business plans.
Yes, sir.
I have a problem with business plans.
Afraid of your ideas getting stolen? What's your concern?
No, not that.
Okay.
Because, see, anybody can paint a pretty picture about what they expect.
Yeah.
But you have no idea about a storm coming.
Yeah.
The pandemic mm-hmm. coming. The 3 days the hotel is working.
Yeah.
The strikes that go on. Mm-hmm. But these people insist on you having these things, and you can't predict none of the other things that are coming.
No doubt about it.
The stock market crashing, the people not traveling because of war, because
mm-hmm.
How they just bump and wake now. You don't know where the world going with this thing.
Yes, sir.
So I always wonder, why would they want you to lie to them instead of going there and say, I believe I can do this? Because
mm-hmm.
it makes you out to be a liar. It's just like when I used to teach, they want you to write a lesson forecast.
Mm-hmm.
And you half the time, you got stamina, you got mm-hmm. fights, you got no electricity, you got no water. All these things in the school, And they expect you to have a nice one every week.
Yes, sir.
But I'd like to add, we are in a little recession right now because of the United States, the children going back to school and everybody going back to work and nobody vacationing like that.
Yes, sir.
If the government cared about us, I don't see why they don't say, look, in September and October, we would lessen these because I still got to keep the staff on.
Yes, sir.
I still got to keep the lights on. I still got to keep the water on. Mm-hmm. But I'm not making the money for me to get anything out of
it. Yes, sir.
And there's never no concession for these slow slow months.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But the government just want their money. And that's not fair to us, man.
The government want their money. The bank want the money. The landlord want the money.
Yes, everybody still wants their money. Mm-hmm. And everybody, you could talk to anybody. Even the bank said slow down.
Yes, sir.
So where's the money supposed to come from? Why don't they come up with some plan in the system to ease the pain of people who are trying to keep their business going, keep their staff employed, pay VAT, pay national insurance, pay light bill, pay water.
All fair questions.
You're not making anything.
Yeah, my brother, all fair questions. We got to go to our final break before we wrap up on the other side. You've been listening to Guardian Today. This is Darvin. We'll be back after these messages.
Settle for ordinary when you can have the Farmhouse King only at Burger King Nassau.
It's back!
Mm-hmm. Sink your teeth into 100% flame-grilled beef, stacked with crisp bacon, melty American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and the bold sauce that adds the perfect kick for a flavor sensation fit for a king. Grab the Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or go all in with the Farmhouse King's Feast. It's bigger, it's better, and it's only at Burger King Nassau.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back. You're listening to Guardian Today, and I am your host, Darvin Russell, and we are talking small businesses and entrepreneurship today. I will read these last couple of texts. No more calls able to be taken today as I wrap up in these last 5 minutes. An entrepreneur is an innovator who starts a new venture with an original product or service, a focus on creating and scaling something new. While a business owner manages an existing business or establishes one that fills a current market need. Innovate equals make changes in something established by introducing new methods, ideas, services, or products. We have new businesses in the Bahamas, but few real entrepreneurs. Good day, sir. I appreciate your business honesty. Recently, I sampled a business idea through my son, who had me order some products for resale, and a year later, we are still stuck with the products. What should my step from this point? The products done expire. Oh boy. This is a really tough one. Oh my goodness. I am so sorry that happened to you. I am not sure how much money, sir, you would have invested, but this is a tough blow. If it's something for consumer consumption that you know would be eaten, unfortunately, you're going to have to discard that product. It is not safe to be consumed. If it's a chemical or something like that, laundry detergent and those kinds of things, industrial chemicals, although it might have a sell-by date on it, it may still have some usage, and you maybe will have to discount the product severely just to move it. But yeah, I am sorry that happened to you. In cases like this, we really need, when you see that you're reaching those dates, that's why you would have to really be super aggressive with your marketing. Post it on Facebook Marketplace. Call other people in the industry if you have competitors and see if they will take it off your hands for maybe pennies on the dollar. I am sorry that happened to you, my friend. Mr. Russell, I love the idea that the caller made to some sort of relief in businesses between September and the Christmas time. Yeah, those are great points. You know, we can look at these things that allow you to pay things in a cadence, right? Where you don't pay everything the same thing every month. So if your mortgage or your financial obligations, they decline, you pay a little bit more January through, let's say, July or August, it drops down a little from September to December and picks back up again. There are ways that you can structure agreements like that. So those are fantastic suggestions. All right, for the last 3 minutes, let me wrap up our conversation. Today we talked entrepreneurship and small business. I walked you through the steps, what we call today the arc of entrepreneurship. I said the ideation phase is critical. That is when you go and you vet your ideas, those skills, talents, and abilities that you have, and the constraints that you have against what is, you know, we talked about how you generate those ideas, right? We said your skill, talents, and abilities made it against your constraints. You could use ChatGPT and it produces a certain set of ideas for you to vet. You go through that list, what resonates with you, what speaks to you, you narrow that down to one or two ideas. You take that and you create a business plan from that. I talked about at a high level what the business plan categories it should contain. After the business plan, you go and seek funding. We mentioned that you should go to your investors, the bank, yourself personally, family and friends. And then, before we took the last break, we talked about a proof of concept. You have now launched the idea, and as I said, in a micro capacity, so a small version of the big idea prior to a grand scale opening. Now, this is a critical, super critical stage. Why? Because if after your proof of concept, I said you open the doors, ain't no one show up. You've tried, you've given it your all, and you can't seem to get either traction at all or sufficient traction. You've pivoted. You've changed your marketing strategy. You've trained some of the products that you sell. You've changed some personnel. You've changed how it is you go about doing what you do, your operational execution, and still it's not working. This is the time to exit. Do not continue to pump money into that losing venture. It is better for you to exit before you lose it all than to continue on that journey. Pivot into something else. It may, as hurtful as it may be, it may require you going back to work to rebuild your cash reserves. Think about, have some time away from it to see why it failed. It could have been something as simple as location. You may have just chosen a horribly, horribly poor location. You may have messed up with the equipment that you bought. You bought one that you thought people would like. The brand didn't resonate with your Bahamian audience. But for those that are successful past the proof of concept stage, it is now time for the final stage, full-fledged launch, your full grand opening, where all guns blazing, all of your marketing is most aggressively launched. You have your grand opening celebration. You bring all of the dignitaries, all of your family and friends. You market it as much as you possibly can to everybody that you can. Now that you have developed some traction, you go all the way in, all of your products and services, and you take the next year to reevaluate, to retweak, to reassess, do any final pivoting. Make sure that you are on the ball with your team, having weekly meetings, benchmarking against the KPIs that you established for yourself, and doing all that you can do to sustain your business, to get to your break even as quickly as possible. And that way, it will allow you to hopefully expand your business even beyond our borders. Just rinse and repeat. If you got one location, once you've mastered that one location, you can go to 2, then to 3, then to 10, go national, and then go global. It has been a tremendous pleasure of mine to sit in for Garth this week. And I hope that yesterday's show, where we dealt with personal finance, and today's show, where we talked entrepreneurship, was a blessing. Those of you that need my professional consulting services, feel free to give me a call at 827-4357 or russellandassociates242@gmail.com. Till next week, have a fantastic weekend. Be blessed, everybody.